universe, everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Well, hi, I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work. For the next hour, we'll be bridging the gap between the physical world and the afterlife when Spirit Guide Gregory Hay communicates with us through Mick's incredible gift of deep trance channeling. As usual, on the show, Spirit Guide Gregory will borrow Mick's body to bring us information that will expand our knowledge about life on Earth, the universe, and other dimensions. And if you have a question that you would like to ask Gregory, it's not a reading style situation. Remember, it's general questions. Then it's in the USA. It's toll free in the USA, and that is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. Just to say briefly though, and I'll talk about it a little later, that you, if you did want a reading with Gregory, then if you can go to our website, and that's www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can have a look at the Akashic Readings page and see if you would like one of those. I mean, they are quite incredible, and you can have a whole hour with Gregory and find out all sorts of interesting information about yourself and ask him your questions that you already have. So anyway, take a look at the website, and I'll just hand you over to Mick.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. Welcome to Spirit's Work, once again on bbsradio.com, and we're live here every Sunday at 1 p.m. EST, that's 10 a.m. PST, and 6 p.m. GMT. Don't know why I started off with that, but there you go. Anyway, if you'd like to know more about us, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, www.spiritsworkradio.com, and also www.mcavey.com. Yes, I almost forgot then. Yes. Anyway, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we gain a better and different perspective, perhaps, on life, which means having choices and options we may never have realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back. So that's kind of like the old way of doing it. It's like the way that I was trained to do. And it means that in a sense, when I went into the training for this, I had no knowledge of what on earth was going on or what I was about to let myself in for. And in a sense, even though I had kind of like committed to the situation, it's a different condition that happens every single time. They take me to somewhere else. I don't know where it is I'm going. If I actually end up in coming back knowing where I was going, that often happens too. And it really doesn't make any difference at all, because you don't want anything of my own conscious mind happening at the time of the spirit world interaction, on, you know, in order to bring about that information. Because there's not a lot going on in my brain anyway. And, you know, you wouldn't want that kind of interference, would you really? Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mick.
Okay. Then I'm going to go now. Bye.
Yeah. We want Gregory. Okay. And Gregory is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, and they consist of eminent scientific minds of all descriptions. and they've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully steer us toward a more harmonious and positive future. They're also responding to a need from our planet, because it's essential that we change our attitude towards it and each other, and they bring us information that will help us to look at our situation with a different perspective, as well as anything and everything beyond our world. So, like I say, on this show, we ask for suggestions for topics that you would like us to cover. We can actually have a whole hour of the subject that you have, especially if you've got lots of questions that you can send with your email and your topic suggestion. I can do that. And also, you can just send one question in. That's fine too. And I will ask it on your behalf. Also, like I said before, you can phone in and ask your question to Gregory directly. In the USA and Canada, it's toll free. And in the UK and international callers, it's not, but it's only a quick call. So, like I say, in the USA, it's 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-815-9756. And international calls, it's 001-530-876-3222. And like I say, as well, if you would like an Akashic reading with Gregory, we do that. This program is general questions. And if you wanted an Akashic reading with him, then we do that. And you can find out that on our website. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's here now. And I do have quite a few questions here.
Hello, Finn. Hello, Finn.
And I cut you off, didn't I?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, with love and light, blessings as ever, Finn.
Yeah. My mouth ran away with me.
Instead of the spoon,
So, here we are. Then we've got some lovely questions from our listeners. And is there anything that you would like to start off with, or shall we go straight into the questions?
You would wish to continue.
Okay. Okay, well, we've had this one for a few weeks now, because I think the marigolds are over now, Joanne. But we've got this this question from Joanne in the UK. And she says that every year we grow lovely marigolds, and the slugs and the snails continually devour them, all but the flowers. And that she said that the pellets that they scattered and the realization of what we had done was a bit of a shock, really. So she immediately regretted the action, and at the same time gave thought to the plants and the fact that the slugs were destroying and killing them. But what a predicament. So both plants and slugs were destroyed, but both have spirit just as ourselves. So she says, how do we deal with this problem?
Yes, part of the problem, my dear Ben, really is to do with manifestation of the physical life, is it not? So that means to say, if you wish to aspire to something beautiful and you wish to collect something beautiful, what is it that beauty is? Is it what you see, the fragrance that it has, the way that the image portrays to you, creates emotive instances, chemical reaction? And that means to say you attract emotion to it, which means that you, in a sense, you gain from its validity, from its instrument, if you like. So is that in behalf of the plant or the slug? Well, in actual fact, slugs and snails are very pretty and beautiful too. It's just in a sense that they know not what they do in gardening your wrath in this way. It is, in actual fact, that I would suggest, my dear friend, that what you do in the future time is that you actually originate it differently, so that you are not in this dilemma. So that would be that you plant your marigolds in a raised situation, and that you put a, I understand, such things as eggshells and small little spiky things will in actual fact upset snails and slugs indubitably, and they will then simply not venture.
Maybe so, you could, yes, I've heard of the broken eggshells. And also maybe you could save the thistle tops and that sort of thing.
Place
around there.
Yes, quite so. And also, I understand citrus peel.
Right.
As well, to a certain extent. So it may well be then that rather you being gardening and gardening with the mind and gardening with all that you wish to portray in respect of the natural world, and then lo and behold, you come short with in respect of the other beings and the hostility with which they are made.
Well,
it
did affect her quite badly, actually.
Yes, absolutely so. I made not light of it.
No.
So the situation is this, friend. I would suggest that this is what you do, that you, in future, because marigolds are very beautiful, very good-smelling, and...
Can I just say, I mean, people have this problem when they grow their own vegetables as
absolutely
well.
Absolutely so, yes.
Mm. So... That becomes an even bigger problem, doesn't it?
Yes, I understand that too. And in that respect, I would say exactly the same thing. I would suggest that all vegetables and that kind of thing are grown in raised beds, and that a precursory situation would be that you manifest a way when raising the beds for the precious vegetables or whatever, or flowers or whatever else it is that you wish to grow, that you raise the beds in such a way and make them of a certain construction that means that snails and slugs simply won't be able to get onto the beds themselves.
Because obviously there are certain plants as well that they don't like.
Yes,
but
that's
I don't think there's many really. And I mean, I know that I used to go outside with a torch at night into the garden. and put them over the fence or whatever.
Into someone else's garden.
No, it was a wood.
Yes. Very well.
But that, you know, that's taking it a bit far, and not everybody can do that. But yeah, it is a problem. It is. Maybe that's a challenge for somebody to, invent some form of slug pellet or powder or whatever that actually deters them, but doesn't
rather
kill them.
Yes, but I understand.
That they just don't like.
Yes, quite so. But as I say, I understand that actually it is the texture that they do not like. So that means to say you want to construct something which has a texture upon it that they simply will not climb. And therefore, it means also to do with that you will have a raised bed, so that it means you won't be breaking your back in order to lift the vegetables and in order to profit from your growing skills. And also that you will then be able to smell the flowers more sweetly because they'll be slightly higher. Mm. And also then that would be a far better way of bringing about an end to the problem.
Well, anyway, she says it's convinced her 100% that all life is precious and equal as any other, and perhaps that she needed this little lesson. But
yes, I do understand.
It is a difficult one. It really, really is.
Yes, human habitation is just the same as anything else, but what you have to understand is exactly how do you garden the mind as well as your life. How do you accept some situations? Perhaps it's to do with what you eat in the food department and what you accept as being all right for you in your life. For example, whether you eat meat, whether you eat fresh vegetables, how they're grown, how they are prepared, what kinds of situations you are enabling or that you find tolerable to you in your life. These are all, in a sense, when you think very deeply about certain situations and events, and it's like the whole question becomes more illuminated the more that you think about it.
Yes. And, I mean, basically, though, I think, I mean, I would suggest, which is what I did, is I don't basically put plants around that they totally adore, like marigolds, Because there are ones that they favour more than others, and just you know, call a truce there, and maybe grow enough of the other things for them to take a few, but leave some as well. I don't know.
Yes, or rather grow some plants that are perhaps expendable, that you know that they're going to eat, so that they are foraging for something. But as I say, if you have a raised situation, then and you make them of a certain construction, it will mean that you will be able to sleep well and happy at night, knowing that all of the little creatures in the garden are happily munching and crunching away at things that are not going to disturb you too much.
Yeah. Okay. That's the gardening. 10 minutes. Okay. Well, thank you for that, Joanne.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Sorry it's a bit late. Okay. Where are we going to go here now? Okay.
Well, energy.
Pardon?
Energy.
Energy. You want to talk about energy?
Well, I do.
I have a few energy questions.
Yes.
Which one were you thinking of?
Well, I understand that there are a number of planetary questions and all of that, and all are really to do with energy.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to start with actually another question that I've had for a few weeks now from Diane in Florida.
Yes.
And then we'll move on to, because it's along that line.
Yes, 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 of course.
And she says, what are we Americans and Brits to learn from this disaster in the Gulf of Mexico? This is a scary and frustrating time for us in the US. What advice will our guides give us to help us through?
Well, really, my dear friend, the central tenet question of all of this is don't take anything for granted. That's the first point, really. Part of the problem humanity faces at this time, and it isn't just in these countries. After all, there are many other countries, Kenya, there is Somalia, many, many other countries, which either have had different kinds of interactions with their environment at one time when left to their own devices was perfectly all right, and then along comes Northern Europeans or the great guzzling combines of multinational corporations who come to gobble up their fine infrastructure and then simply create something, some other kind of monster out of it. So what I'm talking about here, so it's not just the Gulf of Mexico situation and oil, you are looking at all different kinds of facets of life. The situation of the Somali pirates and the coastline and all of that simply was created because of greedy people of other nations who took all of their fish. That's what happened. So the Somali people who lived on the coast had nothing to eat. Everything was gone, just stripped bare from these large factory ships that came and fished in their waters and just took everything. So the condition that you have in that respect is that what you gain from it are all of the people who live there are completely terrorized by this whole situation. And simply all they're doing is they found another way to create wealth and to create prosperity, maybe just for a few of them. If you look at the situation of the Gulf of Mexico and the oil situation, it is a simple statement of something that's already happened in other areas that is less forgotten about. There are conditions where oil has been drained from the land in other countries, African countries, and that the land has been left completely paralyzed and wasted with oil inches deep and covering the coastline, covering many inlet waterways, destroying completely the infrastructure and fisheries of those countries. No one's come and told them to clean that up. Nothing has happened from it. So the situation that you have in the Americas is something that all of the petrochemical companies who are currently drilling for oil all over the planet are doing exactly the same thing. It was purely and simply that one company was more callous and careless than anyone else. And they got found out on the wrong place, in the wrong doorstep. So this is a situation, my dear friend, whereby you have a condition that is rife, purely and simply as well, I have to say, because there were many clauses in the deep well, deep water conditions whereby they were actually allowed to get away with a great deal more of the safety issues that they should not have been a part of. This is simply because I understand that the rules drawn up of engagement for such situations of looking for this very costly and enriching carbonization chemical, that what in actual fact has happened is that people, companies have taken advantage of the weak jurisdiction, of the weak actual rules of engagement, if you like, drawn up by that company, by that country. So what you have to do, first of all, is that all of that has to be strengthened. And that means people have to put pressure upon those who are in government to do that. Otherwise, nothing will be done. The point is that, unfortunately, much of this has been left to the will of the oil companies to police themselves, which currently they are completely woefully inept to do and actually don't have the mind to. So it is not good enough that countries abdicate their responsibility to the companies involved in the mass drilling and the mass extraction of oil. Remember, these oil fields are usually pumped out by pumping seawater into them. So that means to say that the pressures, however, on the deep water well that we're talking about here were actually exerted purely because of the tectonic plate pressurization which was exerted upon it. It wasn't the same case. But what you normally would have in other situations would be at times that water is driven into the well in order to pump the oil out. I would suggest that the whole condition of this, it be something that is met with a different kind of temperance. The problem being that when you are dealing with oil companies and poorer countries who do not have the clout that the Americas have in order to put things right, the oil companies get away with it. They get away with all kinds of misdeeds and misdemeanors. Poisoning the land is nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. So what you have to understand and due to create as human beings is a different kind of task, a different kind of recipe, if you like. That means that even companies when they are in other international states, that they don't simply rely upon the fact of their wealth, which is then commanding national states to elope their responsibility to simply allow the oil companies to do virtually whatever they want to. It very rarely ends up that the beings who exploit the oil field actually ever give the financial reward to the population at large of the country they are exploiting. It is usually something that is given over to the government of that country, which then use it for their own devices, usually, particularly in African countries, because there are a great many exploitations going on anyway. And the poorer the country, the more the more abuse in at a governmental level will take place. That's not to say that abuse doesn't take place in other well-organized governments.
So basically, let's put this question into two parts then. What are we to learn from this disaster?
Is to learn responsibility. Human beings must learn responsibility. How do you, as human beings, as a race, garden your world and at the same time create not hostility, but environmental harmony? That is what you really have to think. Because otherwise, every single thing, every single overture that you make, which is disrespectful or which is then going to have adverse effects upon the harmony and the actual natural state of that part of the world in which you are talking of, then that's going to put it at risk, which means that, sadly, the planet at this present time, with all of the hundreds of thousands of beings who will die and come to back to our side of life at the end of this year, by the time the next week is over, there will be hundreds of thousands who will pass to our side of life. And all of their journeys will be actually worth less because they have left the planet in a worse state than when they found it. So that's what you have to think about, is that that is what you are going to leave, is a planet that is in a worse state.
So basically, what we all need to learn from this disaster and all of the other situations that you have been talking about is that, well, basically it's not an isolated case. So
that's
how
right.
long are we going to sit back and let it happen?
Yes.
So, in whatever way that we can, we need to be proactive and actually do something, no matter how small we think it is.
Yes.
It's to stand up and not just think, oh, we can't do anything. And to also obviously think of the future, because it's only going to be a matter of time, as you've said before, you know, that that we will be able to use it, continue to use it anyway.
Yes, that's right.
So
you have one disaster over another, over another, over another. The simple state of it is that these will continue to be repeated. Yes, quite so. It is that the natural disaster that you have at this present time, much of the oil was sequestered, was eaten up by millions upon billions of bacteria, happy little bacteria living in the ocean, finding lots of yummy oil to eat. But the point is, that's only in one situation. You cannot rely upon the Earth to always come up with a solution to enable you to continue to squander environmental gains. So you have to take responsibility for it.
Yes. Okay. So.
And learn to be that voice.
Yeah.
And it's not difficult. You have the most and incredibly impressive array of abilities at this present time. You have a voice. You really do. And you can actually make your own voice heard right on the other side of the planet. Something that we could never, ever have dreamt of doing when I was in physical life. Didn't even think of the town, the next city onward, yet alone somewhere on the other side of the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically no matter how small and how insignificant you think it is or you are, you're not and it isn't. This is what this program's all about, isn't it, basically?
Yes, that's
right. What I say, isn't it? You're not alone in trying to create a better world, you really aren't. So
that's right.
Yeah, okay. Well, that moves us on to the situation with the climate, basically.
Yes.
And the situations that are happening around the world, the earthquakes and whatnot. So basically, I mean, there are all sorts of ideas about pole shifts
and theories. Yeah.
Theories, you know, okay, climate change. There's also HAARP as well, and that we can. I thought we would just bring that into the whole general topic of conversation about theories of what is going on, basically.
Yes, very well. Very well.
And if you could just talk a little bit about HAARP when you get to that part.
Yes, of course, I will be happy to do that.
Yeah.
So, to begin with, then, the situation of...
Can I just say at the moment, though, sorry, Santhia in... Santhia in New Zealand sent the question in about the HAARP situation because she lives in New Zealand.
In fact, in at the in
Christchurch,
in Christchurch,
absolutely,
I understand the earthquake centre.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of the recent one.
Thank you, Santhia.
Yes, and thankfully that you are well, and that most of the people concerned within that environment and event came out unscathed.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So the situation condition, first of all, that we need to talk about is really to do, and this isn't lessening it, it's just, in a sense, we have to address the matter of pole shift, the matter of this whole condition of one situation or another. You have to understand that magnetically, the pole is shifting almost every single day. So, you could say that that, to a certain extent, is true. The point is, however, that the amounts, the degrees with which the magnetization of the Earth is shifting is what's really at fault, I suppose. So, what you have are different kinds of wobbly truths, really. The condition that is really happening, from a scientific point of view, is that there is no great or dramatic shift. This is a situation which is tenuous at best. It is wobbling all the time. The planet wobbles all the time. That's part of the reason why some situations you have colder conditions than others, or warmer conditions than others. Sometimes it's simply because the wobbling planet, as it moves around the sun, is pulled or pushed by one other energy or another to do with the actual attraction of the sun to the planet. Because, simply, it's not a consistency. It's something that changes and fluctuates gradually over periods of time. These different fluctuations will affect weather patterns. That's not to say it's all down to that. Part of it is absolutely due to human habitation. Absolutely, without question. But the degrees to which these are down to human habitation or not are how you have to calculate what is right and what's wrong. And there will all be all kinds of different little stories and focuses, if you like, unrealistically upon one pathway or another. You have to understand that the planet in itself has been moving, wobbling and shifting from one situation to another for billions and billions of years. So this is nothing new in that respect. Yes, there will be different interactions that will mean it will wobble more severely than at another time. But it certainly does not mean to say that at the time or year of 2012 or any other time that there is going to be a particularly dramatic shift or polarization in a sense, and certainly not as drastic as some have painted. So what you have to look at is then different environmental conditions which are created by the planet and which are then exacerbated and at times are actually extended by human beings' activity. And what I mean by this is, as you rightly point out, the different HAARP conditions that were actually created initially, and understand this, that Nikola Tesla, because he is part of the group, had actually created a great many experiments because he understood everything there was to do with the quantity and quality of energy. And how energy has a different input and imprint into all matter that is physical. And all matter that is non-physical. So, for example, he understood that within certain specific calculations, the vibration index of one thing has a certain quality to it. And that if you create a mechanism that is using radio waves or some other kind of transmission, it is possible to utilize that quality and that expressive vibration index of that particular grain or particular chemical or life form or whatever it is, because everything has a vibration index. And that it's then possible to look, to use that device to look for it, to look for that kind of specific element, if you like, and to enhance it. And therefore, if you actually enable energy as part of what the experiments that Nikolai was working upon before he passed, was really how to transmit energy. You must remember this. And that the condition that he broached, in actual fact, within his experiments was really to do with, because he wasn't someone who was trying to create a weapon, he was trying to create an understanding of a design whereby energy could be transmitted from one part of the planet to another, rather than it be, have to rely upon cables, so that it could actually be utilized in a much more efficient way, coefficient way, which would then, in actual fact, be completely and super enhanced in its efficiency, and therefore the use of it for human beings would be virtually free. This was his object in mind. Not that these kinds of conditions would then be utilized for pain or power over others. I understand within the HAARP experiments, and there are many which are ongoing, which are to do with different elements. For example, these can be used for the finding of a chemical structure within the earth. Oil, for example, because it has a specific vibration index. Any kind of other mineral, gold, silver, iron, magnesium, virtually anything has, all of it has a specific vibration index, which means that you just simply recalibrate the divisor, the energy, and which is enhanced by a very small amount of energy, about 35 or 40 watts, not much at all, would enable that instrument to then find those specific qualities deep and elsewhere within the earth, simply by sending radio wave transmission, which would then come back when, or would detail actually the, because you send it out as the specific wave vibration, its vibration index, which has already been calculated. So then when you know the vibration index of a certain combustible commodity or whatever it is that you're looking for, you simply send the signal out at that vibration. And then as soon as it's found it, you'll have a, you'll either have that the situation simply doesn't send a signal back, or it sends a signal back saying that it's actually found what you're looking for. So that's the rudimentary situation about that whole different instrument. What you are then understanding is that there are some countries who have been experimenting with this, which then, for other purposes, which partly is to do with, for example, in the situation of Great Britain, they have been undertaking situations and different kinds of experiments to actually use this energy to kill a human being. And can do so at, I understand, 2.5 to 3 miles. Without even being present. So the next situation is that other conditions surrounding this are that there are others who have decided to take it upon themselves that what if they sent a different kind of energy or a different kind of fraction of this energy, vibration index, perhaps to somewhere where the tectonic plate environment is fragile. It is already understood, I understand, in terms of human technology and understanding exactly what different energies or what different vibration index would be required to illuminate a possible vibration, which is then counterproductive, but in some quarters would be regarded as being productive. Because, after all, something as catastrophic as an earthquake to an environment where people live, for example, if it's to do with a specific country, that obviously would have dramatic effects. And so I'm certainly not discounting that, because experiments have already taken place, I understand, on your side of life, because and due to these situations that Nikolai had been working on. Not that he had actually been working on in this respect of something that was dangerous.
No, it wasn't his intention.
That was not his intention at all. So in this respect, I understand that he is very pleased, for example, with the situation about the motor vehicle that has been created, which is actually to do with his understanding of using energy to create a different kind of system of energy.
Which one are you talking about?
So I understand this was actually to do with vehicles, and also because he's very interested, I understand as well, to do with vehicles that run on gas and things like that. Even though that the gas itself is something which is once again a carboniferized situation, it is actually something that could be harmonized with, for example, a different kind of gas, maybe something that's emanating from physical beings, methane instead, you see? And methane can be collected en masse in a great many places all over the world. In fact, is so in many oil fields. Methane is part of the process. So it is in essence, but also something that can be created simply by composting.
Okay, so if the methane was actually captured, though, I mean, we know that's a huge problem with the global warming situation.
Well, it is one of the conditions, yes.
So if you captured it and you used it, but what would be the final result from from the end result of what happens, you know, what you've used it for?
Yes, I do understand that. But coupled with this is really to do with the other aspects of Nikolai's work, which was really to do with how it may be possible to have influence or structural influence upon the integrity of the layering of the upper stratosphere and outer layering, if you like, of the planet structure of the natural world. So, for example, it may possibly be the case that the planet itself and the depth of the stratosphere from the Earth's crust would be extended.
Okay.
So as to make more room for more noxious gases to then happily sit on the outer fringes of the atmosphere and not to then create their structure of pollution and therefore harming the climate. I understand that this is something else which is also potentially to do with the same project.
Really? What, HAARP?
Yes.
Hmm. So there's some good things and some bad things coming out of it, basically.
Yes, yes, absolutely. The problem is, of course, is to do with the power elements and who exactly would control it. That's the point. And for the situation in Christchurch, I am aware of the worry that you have of, and that many people have, of this condition, this instrument being used in such a situation. I have seen, and I do understand that the Chinese nation have used certain elements to do with it, to do with their maintaining and changing the, and orchestrating the climatic controls, but this is also to do with chemicalization of the atmosphere as well.
Well, the thing is, and we, you know, we can't go into the conspiracy theory thing anyway, but we're all at risk anyway, aren't we? From one, you know, okay, so that's a possibility. Global warming.
Yes, absolutely.
That's truth.
Absolutely. The species becoming extinct. Absolutely. Yes. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them. Particularly at risk. Maybe to do with some of the 2.5 million different species of insects that live in the Amazon rainforest.
To which everybody thinks doesn't affect them living in
city. But
somewhere.
In actual fact, the Amazon rainforest is actually your own clinical supply line. It is the situation, the place where most resultant chemicals exist that will eventually eradicate all disease on your side of life.
So that's another good reason not to lose the forest.
Yes, absolutely. It's the world's pharmacy.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so the crux of the matter is then the weather patterns in a nutshell.
Yes. In a nutshell, the weather patterns are, of course, at risk because of different kinds of situations. The main situations that are presently engaged with it are really to do with the agricultural runoff, which then pollutes the seas, which then creates a different pH value of the oceans themselves. Changing pH can sometimes be created by climate change. And I understand that the potential for 3 degrees Celsius shift, which I think is about 5 degrees in Fahrenheit, shift in the actual mean temperature of the planet itself will be disastrous.
Mm.
It's not would be, will be.
Mm.
So the condition is then that the practices that human beings have in their farming methods, using pesticides, using mass animal farming, is actually something that simply cannot continue. Partly because of the degrees of methane which are put into the atmosphere by these mass farming instruments, but also because of the agricultural runoff, as I say, which then pollutes the seas, changes the pH value of the seas, then ultimately human beings suffer because it changes their pH.
Mm.
And that is one of the key causes of about 60% of diseases known to humanity.
our pH levels?
Yes.
Alkaline, acidic?
Yes, absolutely so.
Balance.
Most conditions of stomach, of bowel, and that kind of condition are to do with your pH balance. Because it's not in its optimal state, because you're eating too many of the wrong things, or too many combinations, or simply because you're eating the wrong thing for the kind of form of genetics and species of which you are a part.
Mm. Yes, because we are very different, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Our tolerances
so.
And,
yes, absolutely.
But we all think because we're all human that...
That you can all tolerate the same thing.
Yeah, a bit like the inoculations, and we won't go there.
Yes, yes.
But I mean, the thing is, with the earthquakes and the situation, certain situations are... I mean, that's happened over millions of years, nature's way of dealing with things anyway.
Yes.
That isn't necessarily to do with anything. That's something that
happens. No, that's right. Yes, that's right.
Isn't it?
Absolutely so.
So we can't, you know, there's some things we can't put down to anything but just the nature of the planet.
Yes, the nature of human life and physical life generally.
Mm.
So all other beings have to tolerate it. All other beings simply move or go somewhere else.
I mean, we have earthquakes in England, but they're, touch wood, they're very tiny, but we do have quite a few.
About 200 or 300, I understand.
Yeah.
Every year, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand so. Many places do. It's just that simply you only hear about the ones that have or create any damage.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, but... We've only got a few minutes left, really.
Yes, yes, yes.
But, so it's not worth going on to a different topic.
No.
But the situation with, what can we do about the global warming situation? I mean, we were talking earlier on, actually, about, Prince Charles.
Yes, yes.
About, he's passionate about the global warming situation.
Yes, absolutely so, and rightly so, yes.
Yeah. A good ambassador for that situation.
Yes.
And we can only, I know we've talked about it before, obviously, but we do tend to take our eye off the ball, I think, when we do start thinking of different situations like pole shifts and, you know.
Yes, that's right.
Being created by man.
Yes.
Through technology and
yes.
That sort of thing.
Yes.
We have to go back to the global warming thing, really, because that is down to us that we can do personally
and
something
behavior.
About it,
and
our behaviour.
Yes, that's
absolutely.
Right.
So, I mean, and that's the problem that can come out of all of these different situations, really, is that we do become, complacent.
Yes. So, what human beings have to do in these events is that they have to do their own gardening. They have to grow their own vegetables. It's completely ridiculous that you expend large amounts of finance on having tomatoes from a different country.
We're back to the slugs now, aren't we?
Yes, so we're back to the slugs, yes. And God bless their little slimy selves.
Actually, Kathy in Chicago mentioned that she wondered if the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico has impacted the timeline that you keep talking about, where we need to do something about the planet before it actually gets to the point where we,
yes.
No matter what we do, we won't be able to stop a downward slide, as it were, and things that will come to the point where we can't actually change things.
Yes, it did not have a detrimental effect upon the timeline. That is clear.
Okay.
It takes a great deal to do that. One of the things that is continuing to have a detrimental effect is the behavior and the building of the nation of China and the detrimental effect which that is having upon their own natural environment.
Right.
That is having a detrimental effect.
Yes, there's obviously got to be a top five or whatever, however many things that you can think of that
Yes.
On top of the lift.
Yes, the continued depletion of the Amazon rainforest is another. The continued annihilation of sharks is probably at the top of the list.
Okay, do you want to explain that? I know you've talked about it before.
The annihilation of sharks for fin soup is something that the planet actually depends upon sharks, and so too does humanity for actually keeping the oxygen levels of the oceans at their present state. For sharks eat the little fishes which eat the plankton and various other algae forms and algae blooms that exist in a harmonic way on the ocean surface, which then creates oxygen for the entire planet. So you do away with all of the sharks of the world, and 90% have been depleted so far. Do away the rest of the 10% and have no more sharks will simply mean that the little fishes grow and breed uncontrollably. They're not little fishes that are worth eating. They are too small. And what will simply happen is that all of the state of oxygenation that comes from the sea will simply become exhausted.
It's
that
funny,
is
isn't it?
The greatest.
We, you know, all of these big, huge things that we talk about, these catastrophes and...
Yes.
And yet, we're just down to a few fish here.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's an insect.
Yes, that's right. And for human terms, the greatest situation that is affecting humanity are bugs, bacteria, viruses. And the way in which humanity cannot quick enough overcome certain viruses and bacteria, which are mutating at an alarming rate.
But because we've changed, because everything's changing, basically, they've adapted and we haven't.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I hope this hasn't scared everybody.
Off their breakfast or lunch or dinner.
Yeah, we didn't mean it to be like this.
But my point really is that human beings have to take responsibility. That is the, how you say, bottom line. That is the end result of all of this. You have not to think in terms of elliptical imagination that other races are out there going to come and rescue you, or the chosen few, or any other condition that you think is suddenly going to dramatically shift. All you have to do is pray, or all that you have to do is send this energy or that energy into the universe. None of it. All you have to do is take responsibility now and change direction.
Absolutely.
And own up. Understand it is your environment, your responsibility. You are the keepers of it, each and every one of you. If a company, if a government, if someone else squanders that in your name, on your watch, at your time of life, you need to hold them accountable and stop the evidence.
Well, thank you, Gregory. Thank you
With
very much.
With love and light, blessings upon you, everyone. God bless.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Do visit our website. That's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out plenty of information about us, our books, our merchandise, our Akashic readings. And, well, thank you very much for listening. I hope that you have an uplifting day where you can think of all sorts of lovely positive things and ideas, rather than dwelling on negative situations. I mean, the thing is, it is negative, but we're in it, you know, and we have to do something about it, because if we don't, nobody will. And that's what this program's all about, really. So, my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work on the wonderful BBS Radio. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.